Amen. Okay, let's jump into the Word of God, see what He has for us this morning. And it's one of those Sundays that sometimes we anticipate, you know, that there'll be more people in church, there'll be different people, it'll be kind of a unique setting to be able to share the gospel of Christ, to be able to share what's going on. And so when it came closer to the weeks leading up to today, I began seeking the Lord, saying, what would you like to share with your body? And usually I start getting something on the inside, kind of a message that God wants to give His people. And this time, all I heard very clearly right off the front was a title. Okay, and it's this title right here: What Are You Going to Do About Jesus? Okay, and that title kind of it puzzled me a little bit, because most of the time I will have the bulk of a message written before I'll ever put a title on it. Sometimes I just get a title, but most time it's the other way around, where I feel like God has something that He wants to get across to the body, and I'll begin mulling on that for however long and let God stir up those things, and then we begin to put it together, and then eventually I'll kind of see the gist of it and then put a title on it towards the end. So this week, as I was putting this together, it began with a thought that we were in the middle of a series of sermons called Being Like Jesus, right? We've been on this for several weeks, 4 or 5 weeks now, and so I was thinking, you know, it might be something along the line of being like Jesus, and how could I tie that in with the resurrection? And the other side of that is that it's Resurrection Sunday. So how do you, you know, I thought, well, maybe I should just preach on the resurrection, and started thinking about how, you know, maybe it would be something that you teach on the Passover, okay? Or you teach on Jesus being the sacrificial lamb of God, or you teach on Him, you know, His resurrection, rising from the dead, or something along that line, something about the afterlife, heaven, and things like that. And then I thought maybe God would have me try to combine the two, that maybe it would be something where I would teach on the Passover, and yet it's still kind of, how do we tie that in with trying to be like Jesus, that we are willing to lay our life down? Okay, well, what I discovered was that God did not want me to join being like Jesus and Resurrection Sunday together. But He wanted to draw a distinct line between the two. A point of decision, if you will. Okay, between being like Jesus and the resurrection. Something that would stir your heart to be more like your Savior, knowing that He rose from the dead. Okay, because every single person who has lived in the last 2,000 years, or that's alive right now, or that will live in the future, every single one of us will have to make a decision regarding our eternal life, okay, regarding salvation. And Jesus is right smack in the middle of every one of those decisions. So when we're contemplating Christ, we have to make decisions, something that takes place on the inside of us. Now, He is the Lamb of God. We know that. He takes away the sin of the world. It is upon Jesus whom God put the consequences of the sins of mankind. And it is clearly Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who defeated sin by living a sinless life from beginning to end. Again, it is Jesus Christ, our Lord, who conquered the grave, okay, rising again to new life, okay, all of that proving that Satan's greatest weapons of lies and deception and ultimately death were not powerful enough to defeat Jesus. They stood no chance against the Son of God. Okay, but the crux for every person on planet Earth is what they know and believe, and what they do with what they know and believe about Jesus. Hence the question. Okay, everything that we live, every person will have to ask themselves about this personal decision. What will you do about Jesus? Okay, what will you do about Jesus Christ? What He came and did, when you begin to understand who He is, you make decisions based on what you know about Him. Okay, so ask yourself, what will you do about Jesus Christ. Okay, let me show you a couple of scriptural examples. I want to show you several different ones. I think there's four that kind of show an encounter that somebody has with Christ, either personal, face-to-face, or somebody comes and tells them about Christ, but they're all different encounters handled in different ways. Okay, the first reference in the scripture that came to mind was when it was shortly after Jesus had risen, okay, shortly after he had ascended, okay, to heaven. And Jesus told his followers to wait in Jerusalem until they be endued with power from on high, the King James says. Okay, it was a supernatural power, okay, that was going to come on them that would enable them to live out the Christian life with all the authority and the power, but also to boldly proclaim the gospel of Jesus. Okay, this power, he said, was coming. And many of the followers of Christ, the ones that he had asked, did exactly that. They went and they waited in Jerusalem until they were endued with this power from on high, until they were filled with the Holy Spirit, just like Jesus said they would be. Okay, some of the doubters, though, okay, some of the onlookers, okay, they saw what had transpired and they were puzzled by it. Okay, kind of concerned. These guys that were these empowered believers now, they were so instantly transformed. Okay, they were instantly freed up to be able to boldly proclaim Christ. And so some of those onlookers and the doubters standing by wrongfully assumed that they must have been hitting the bottle while they were waiting for Jesus. Right? He thought they must have gotten drunk up in that room waiting for him. Okay, well, Peter was one of those who, not too long before this moment, had literally denied that he even knew Jesus. But now he was on fire for Jesus. Okay? And he stands up and he declares to them, he says, "Men and brethren, these men are not drunk as you suppose, but this is the power of the Holy Spirit that Joel prophesied, saying it was coming, and that Jesus said was coming, and that we now have received." Okay, then Peter goes on to preach to them the truth about Jesus, just like you're hearing this morning. Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of God. Okay, Jesus of Nazareth was the chosen one. He was the very Christ, he told them, that we've all been waiting for, longing for, looking for. But instead of believing Peter, instead of believing on Jesus like the rest of them in that group had done, they had chosen to doubt that message and even crucify the Son of God on a cross. Okay, they were part of the religious folks, you could say, that crucified Jesus. They didn't believe that he was the Christ. They saw him as a threat and chose to have him crucified instead. It's at that point, when Peter gets done telling them that this is the Son of God and you guys crucified him, that I want to pick up in the scripture. It's in Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 37. It says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." You see, when the people were confronted with the truth about who Jesus really was, they asked themselves, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" In other words, they came to a point of decision and asked themselves, "What are we going to do about Jesus?" Okay, they had to make a decision. They now knew the truth, and they were posed with that. They were prompted to ask themselves, "What are we going to do now that we know that?" Peter very clearly gives them the answer. Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and then you will be empowered with the Holy Ghost, which came on us, will come on you. He just literally lays it out. Here's what you need to do. Okay, that is one encounter of an experience where somebody came to realize who Jesus is and now had to make a decision. Another good example is in Matthew chapter 11. Okay, this is talking about John the Baptist, okay, or John the Baptizer, okay, when he was in prison. He was in that prison for preaching that the kingdom of God is at hand. Okay, he was preaching that the Messiah is coming. And he had heard about the miracles and the works of Jesus. So he sends two of his disciples from the prison, probably guys that came to visit him, and he sends them to Jesus to ask him, are you, he that should come, or should we look for another? In other words, he's questioning, are you really the Christ, or should we keep looking? Is there more? See, John was certain that God had a plan to send a Savior. He knew that. He was preaching the kingdom of God is near, preaching about the Messiah coming. So when he heard about Jesus, and he heard about the power and the anointing, he heard about the miracles that Jesus did that superseded anything that any of the prophets had done up to that point. At that point, he sends some trusted friends to go find out if this truly is the Christ, because he wanted to have his coming to Jesus moment. He wanted that. He knew the Messiah was coming, and if this is the Christ, the Messiah, I want to know that so I can believe on him. See, John was facing life in prison or even death, and we know from his story that he was killed in prison, beheaded. He knew that his eternal life in heaven, okay, where he went when he died, he knew that that was dependent on having faith in the Messiah. He didn't want to wait one more day and hope. He wanted to find out for sure if this was the Christ. He wanted to, you could say, ensure his salvation before he left the earth. Okay, that was John's encounter with Christ. In Matthew 11:4, it gives Jesus' answer to those men that came to Jesus asking on John's behalf. Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which you do see and hear, hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whoever shall not be offended in me. See, John the Baptizer knew what he would do about Jesus. He knew once he came to know him as the Christ that he would believe wholeheartedly on him. Some others in the Bible were not so sure what they would do when they found the Christ. Okay, on the day that Jesus was captured and eventually taken to the cross, the captors found Jesus but were taken back by his powerful presence. They weren't sure of what they had just discovered. Okay, I want to read that. It's in John chapter 18, starting in verse 1. It says, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden, into which he entered, and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place. For Jesus oftentimes resorted there with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, comes there with the lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus says unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. And as soon as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then he asked them again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered and said, I have told you that I am he. If therefore you seek me, then let these go their way. The captors found what they were looking for, but they were not really sure they wanted to find who they were looking for. Okay, now they had to answer the question as to what they were going to do about Jesus. Okay, what are we going to do now that we have found him? You know, many of these officers and soldiers were probably just carrying out orders. Some of them didn't really want to be there. Okay, they were just following their instructions, what they were told to do. They might have even heard some of the stories about Jesus, like the time that James and John suggested that maybe they should just pray and call down fire from heaven and destroy the unbelievers. Okay, or maybe they heard about how Matthew, when he recounts that scene, Matthew describes how Jesus rebukes Peter for pulling out a sword and swinging it around. And it reminds him that he could simply pray to his Father God and God would instantly send 12 legions of angels to defend him. Okay, a legion is 5,400 soldiers. Okay, so Jesus told him, do you not know I could just pray to my Father God and he would send over 64,000 angelic soldiers on my behalf. Okay, now these soldiers, these officers were there because they were told to be there. Okay, they were coming to arrest Jesus, but by the time they got to that moment in the garden, they were probably shaking in their boots, thinking, oh my God, here he is, right? OMG, right? They had heard some of the stories about Jesus. They had heard that he had raised people from the dead, that he had healed people. They had heard about the potential calling fire down from heaven or the potential 12 legions of angels to back him up. They were scared to be at that moment. Yes, they were there looking for Jesus, but it was probably like looking for a tornado. What do you do when you find it? Another who was given their opportunity to meet Jesus, an Ethiopian eunuch, had a different reaction. Okay, let's read his story in Acts chapter 8, starting in verse 26. It says, an angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza, the same as desert. And he arose and he went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of Ethiopians, who was over all her treasure, who had come to Jerusalem to worship, and he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. Reading his Bible, right? He's a good guy. Reading what he had. The Spirit says unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, understand this thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except someone shall guide me? And he besought Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of Scripture which he was reading was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before his shearer is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. His generation who shall declare? For his life is taken from the earth. In verse 34, the eunuch answers Philip and says, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other? And Philip opened his mouth and beginning from this scripture, preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on the way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch says, Behold, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. See, this eunuch knew that there was more to life than what he was currently experiencing. Okay, he had gone to Jerusalem to worship, it tells us that. So he had some knowledge of God. Okay, he had some, at least a religious knowledge of God. He knew enough that he should be worshiping the Almighty God. Okay, but when you're sincerely seeking the things of God, you will find him. God has ways of sending someone into your path to help show you the way. Okay, like this Ethiopian man, though. When you have your eyes open to who Jesus is, you're going to have to make a decision. That happened. Many of you could say you had an understanding of God, didn't really know Jesus personally, and all of a sudden, through whatever, scripture, a teaching, a friend shared with you, whatever it was, you had your eyes open to see Jesus, and you had to make a decision. What am I going to do about Jesus? Now that you know him, that's what the Ethiopian was doing. He was reading, trying to understand, and Philip comes by and says, This is talking about Jesus, the Son of God. And the man says, I believe this is talking about Jesus. What do I do next? How can I follow Jesus? Okay, what will you do with Jesus? Will you go all in like this man did? Instantly saying, I want to follow God. I want to follow the ways of Jesus. Now I understand Jesus is the Son of God. I will follow his ways. I want to be baptized in his name. I want to seek him with everything I've got. I want to follow and submit to the ways of Jesus Christ. Or will you be like the last example? Okay, the rich young ruler. Mark describes this man in his gospel in Mark chapter 10, verse 17. It says, And when he, speaking of Jesus, was gone forth into the way, there came one running. There came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all of these things I have observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest. Go thy way and sell whatever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and take up the cross and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and he went away, grieved, for he had great possessions. Here is this guy's moment. Okay? Here's his What does it take to follow Jesus moment? Okay, it was a personal face-to-face encounter with the Christ. And this man went away from that moment with his head hanging down, trying to decide if he was truly willing to follow Jesus or not. The choice of whether his loyalty was to himself or to the Christ was put on the line. And at least for the time being, he determined that submitting his entire life to Jesus was more than he was willing to do. You know, you don't want that to be you. I don't want it to be you. Okay, there is nothing on this earth that is worth more than a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Nothing. No amount of money. No valuable possession. Nothing is worth more than that relationship with Jesus. Choose rather to lay down your life like Jesus asked. Lay down your life and take up the cross and follow Jesus. Okay, believe who He is. Believe what He has done and receive the forgiveness of your sins and start enjoying the new life in Christ. So I'm going to end this morning with the same question that I began with. What will you do about Jesus Christ? Let's do this. We don't always do this, but let's bow our heads before the Lord this morning. Close your eyes. Just have a moment right here with God. You know, maybe today you're like John the Baptist, who knew the truth about Jesus and just needed a little reassurance that Jesus truly was the Messiah. Or maybe you've been looking for Jesus like the soldiers, but you're a little afraid of how you might respond when you meet Him. Perhaps you've been a believer for many years, and you came this morning sort of like that Ethiopian guy, knowing that you are to worship God, but you're seeking to understand more about your relationship with the Christ. You know, if you gave your life to Jesus at some point, I believe that you will have many, many moments with Him when your devotion, your commitment to Him is going to be challenged. For you, this might be one of those moments when you can reaffirm your faith in Him. Okay, maybe you're here this morning and you've not yet had your coming to Jesus moment. Right here, right now, is your opportunity. And wherever you're at in your life, would you be willing to make a decision about Jesus? Simply to raise your hand up to Him right now and let Him know that you're in, because you know what you will do about Jesus. If that's you this morning, if you would just raise your hand to the Lord, let Him know. This is between you and Him. If you've been walking with God for a long time, this is the opportunity to say, God, I know my faith has been challenged over and over again. I'm just restating what I already believe. I'm saying, that's me. My hand is up to declare, I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe You are the Son of God. I believe that You lived and died and rose from the dead for me, for the forgiveness of my sins. Just lift a hand to Him. Just say, God, I'm in. I'm like that Ethiopian guy. I know Jesus enough to know that I want to follow Him. Father, we praise You this morning. Thank You for raising your hands. Father, we praise You this morning. Thank You for Your glory that shines in our hearts this morning to reveal Yourself unto us so that we can see You for who You are, that we can acknowledge You as our Savior. We can acknowledge You as the one who has paid the price to redeem us, to buy us back, the one that has borne the consequence of our sin and now given us eternal life through You. Lord God, we praise You. Thank You for Your plan of Jesus. Thank You for showing Him to us. Thank You for revealing in a way that we can connect, that we can say, I do believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank You for it. We trust You for it. And it's in Jesus' name that we say, Amen. Amen.